Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Nun Vav. And we're starting the Mishnah four lines from the bottom of Nun Hey Omid Beis. And as you'll recall, we started off our perek talking about the different menhagim vis-a-vis people doing work on Erev Pesach, where some of the places the minig was to allow for work on Erev Pesach morning, and some places the minig was not to do work in the morning until Chatzos. But Tosis at the beginning of the parak said, but everybody had the custom not to do work post Chatzos on Erev Pesach. So our Mishnah continues on along with the same theme about different menhagim. In particular, here we're going to talk about the menhagim of Yerichoi. And we're going to find that one of the menhagim, in fact, involves Erev Pesach, but the others talk about other types of menhagim. And as we'll see, sometimes the Rabbanan were happy with the menhagim, and sometimes they were upset. So starting our Mishnah, Shish Devarim Asu Anshi Yerichoi. There were six menhagim that the Anshi Yerichoi did. Al Shloisha Michu Biyadam, Al Shloisha Loi Michu Biyadam. As we'll see in the Gemara Miyat Hashem towards the bottom of Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the Lashon of our Mishnah indicates that in fact they were upset about all six of these actions, these customs of the Anshei Yerichoi. It's just three of them were so bad, so to speak, that they had to go and make an official macha'a, an official protest, and the other three were nishkeferlich. They were able to go and live with them, even though they were not happy with them. So what were those six? We're going to first list them in our Mishnah, but the main pirush, the main pshat, we're going to see mitzvah in the Gemara. The Elohim Shalei Michu B'yanim. The following, they were not moicha. Markiv in the kolam kolayoyim. They grafted the kolam, palm trees, kolayoyim, the entire Erev Pesach. Not only Erev Pesach in the morning, but even Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which is different than everything that we've had until now, because until now we've learned that after Chatzos, you don't do any mulach. And it says, Loi michu biyodam. The Chachamim didn't even protest this act. V'korchen Shema. They also did something in the reading of Kriya Shema, which is different than the way we read Kriya Shema. What is that difference? We'll see in Mechem three separate pshatim in the Gemara. V'koitchen v'goitchen of Neo Omer. All to the people of Yerichoi would do Ketzira, that means they would harvest the goichim, and they would make heaps and mounds of the tvua that they cut, lefnei oimer, even before the bringing of the oimer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Rashi immediately points out that the koitzrin should be deleted from our Mishnah. Because although it's true, there is a din of you're not allowed to do ketzira of tvua before the ketzira sa oimer, and that's because the pasuk says, "Reishis ketzirichem," that the oimer is considered to be the first of your harvesting. So you're not allowed to harvest anything before. But as we learned in the Gemara already earlier in our Masechta, the halacha is that the isser of ketzira is only tvua that is ra'oi, that is suitable to be brought for the oimer. However, if it's brought from an area, from a farm, from a field, where the tvua is of substandard quality, not triple A, it is not ro'i to be brought for the minchas o'imer anyway, and as a result, the halacha is you are allowed to do ktsira of tvua. So for instance, Rashi points out that Yerichoi was also low-lying, and the halacha is when you have a Beis HaShalchan or Beis HaEmek, Emek means in a valley, Beis HaShalchan means where you need extra irrigation to water the property, which means that it's a dry piece of field, dry piece of property, you need additional water resources. Typically the tvua that grows in those spots is substandard, not top quality, so you cannot use it anyway for the oimer. So therefore ktsira is not a problem in Yerichoi. The problem, however, is the goydish. Goydish means making the heaps. Now, what's the problem of heaping up the tefuah? So, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, and as we'll see shortly, because there was a concern among the Chachamim that people accidentally, whilst they are working and processing the Tvua, they might put some of it into their mouths and chew it like chewing gum. But you're not allowed to go and eat from the Tvua before Chodosh, or before bringing the Korban Omer on Pesach. Everything until that time is called Chodosh, and that's why the Chachamim were not happy with the fact that the Bnei Yerichai, the Anshei Yerichai, did the Goychen of Bnei Omer. In defense of the Anshei Yerichai, the reason why they were not concerned and that they did make the Goydish, because they felt that when it comes to Chodosh, Mivdal B'dilei Inshi Minei, unlike us, where we just go and buy the final baked product, or some of us, our wives, go and bake cakes or breads or challis or whatever for us at home, there in those times, everybody was busy with the tevuah. After all, it was mostly an agricultural society, and so therefore almost everybody baked for themselves. So therefore everybody knew you cannot go and bake from any of the new tevuah until the Isser of Chodesh goes away. And when does the Isser of Chodesh go away? When they brought the Korban Omer. So everybody was very sensitive to the Inyan of Korban Omer, and that's why they felt, we don't have to worry about the Goychin, because nobody's going to even think of putting this in their mouths. However, the Chachamim were not happy with that, but they were not Moicha. Those were the first three acts, or actions. The following three were so gefährlich that the Chachamim felt that we do have to make a macha. What are those three? Matirin gamzioi shel hegdish. As we'll see, Mechem in the Gemara, the minig was that people owned two different types of trees for our purposes. One were the carob trees, charuvin, otherwise known as boxer, and also the shikmin. Shikma, as we had a couple of days ago, are the sycamore trees. In both cases, those trees, people would go and cut off all of the branches so that the trunks of the tree would get thicker and thicker and wider and wider. And that would really make it into a strong tree. Rashi even points out that we have in the Gemara from time to time the expressions Pesulas HaShikma or Sadon HaShikma. Pesulas HaShikma is referring to the sycamore trees before you trimmed and removed the branches. And the Sadon HaShikma is after you remove those branches. And that caused the trees to really solidify and harden and thicken and give out. Subsequently, the owners of those trees went and they were maktish those trees for the Berek HaBayis. Why were they matkish them for Berek HaBayis? And Mechem will talk about that tomorrow in tomorrow's shir. But that was the minhag. And guess what? Subsequent to the cutting of all the branches, sometime thereafter, new branches started growing out of the same trees. And when those branches grew out, the Anshei Yerichai felt that those were Gidulei Hegdish. And Gidulei Hegdish do not rise to the same level of the original Hegdish that I was Makdish. And they held that there is no din of Me'ila by Gidulei Hegdish. And that's why Matirin, they were Matir, Gamziois, means the new branches that were added to the new branches that were added, not were added, but that grew out of these sycamore trees and the boxer trees, and the Anshei Yerichai felt that those were not Hegdish, no din of Me'ila, and that's why they were Matir Gamzios. Gamzios means the new branches that grew. I'm not sure what the etymological origin of the word Gamzios, but perhaps it has to do with Gam, and maybe even Gamzu Latoiva, that new branches grew out, and they said, oh, Baruch Hashem, we don't just stay with that original tree, but the Gamzu, we have now additional branches which are growing and growing, and therefore they were Matir, and the Chachamim were Mocha, because they said that there is an Isur after all. Mechem will talk about that on the Amud Beis. Number two, that they were upset about, that they were Mocha, v'oichlin mitachas ha-nishorim b'shabbos. The Gemara, in fact, elaborates a little bit about this, and says that the people in Yerichai apparently were very generous and gracious, and they made holes in the fences that led into their fields to allow the aniyim to go through those holes, even on Shabbos, and to go and eat from the fruit that was lying on the floor of the fields. Now, the problem with eating from those fruits, that many of those fruits may have fallen down on Shabbos itself, which would be a muktzah issue, or even a nolad issue. If you remember at the beginning of Masechtas Beya, it says over there that there are three or four reasons why Beya shenold b'yontiv is asur. One of the reasons is because of Peiris Shenoshru, that if you're going to allow for the new egg that was laid on Shabbos or Yontif, if you can allow to eat it on that Shabbos or Yontif, then you're going to go also take the fresh fruit that fell off the tree. So what's the problem? Why are they muktzah? The problem is because you might come to pluck off fruits from the tree. You'll say, these are so delicious. They give valdik. Your whole family eats from these fruits, and then you might go and yank off another fruit from the tree. Anyway, the people in Yericho were not makbid, and they allowed the aniyim to sit under the shade of these trees where the fruits had fallen, some of them, many of them, even on Shabbos, and they allowed them to do that, and the Chum said, no, this is prohibited. We'll see in Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Amud Beis, two reasons why this is prohibited. Finally, v'noistem pe'ili yerek, u'michu bi'odam chachamim. What means noistem pe'ili yerek? We'll see Mishnah at the tail end of today's blot, that although there's a mitzvah of giving peya from a person's field, you're potter from giving peya from yerek. Yerek means from vegetables. What's the reason why? Because one of the requirements for peya is machnisoy lekiyum. That means it has to be the type of produce that you can store away in a storage bin, in a pantry, in a refrigerator, or whatever, you can store it away. But as we know, vegetables very quickly spoil and wither. Today, with refrigeration, we can hold them a little bit longer, but even in the refrigerator, the vegetables, the salads, do not remain forever, and therefore there's no din of peya. And the people in Yericho, they were machmir. They gave peya even though it was not required. So you would think, oh, they should get the guest of honor award at the next yeshiva dinner. These guys are tremendous. They're giving peya even though they're exempt. But Rashi says, no, it was a chumrah that's maybe lidei kula. What is the kula? Because the halacha is that you do not have to give trumois umasrois from peya. And therefore, by designating this whole patch of the vegetable patch, of the vegetable field, as peya, they automatically did not give trumas and maisers. Are you allowed to go and eat something where you didn't give trumas and maisers? And the answer is no. So if this was bona fide peya, you're exempt from trumas and maisers. But because it's not bona fide, this is only pseudo peya. It's fake news. It's not real peya. So you have to go and give trumas and maisers. And if you didn't give trumas and maisers, you're eating tevel. That's why the Chum had to make a macho and say, Rabbeisai, don't do it. You're being machshel all of the aniyim by giving them not peya, but giving them tevel. Mitchell will learn more about that on the Amud Beis. So now that we've concluded the six customs or halachas that the Anshei Yericho did, which the Chachamim were not happy with, so the Gemara goes off a drop on a tangent and tells us about six things that Cheskiyahu HaMelech did, and three of them the Chachamim were happy, three of them they were not happy. Bear in mind, Cheskiyahu HaMelech was one of the most righteous kings that we ever had in Klal Yisrael, and it's ironic because he was the son of Achaz, as the Gemara is going to tell us momentarily, and Achaz was one of the most wicked kings in Klal Yisrael. So wicked was he that the Gemara says at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin in Perek HaChelik that even though Klal Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik Leilam Abba, Achaz does not have a Chelik Leilam Abba. He was very, very bad. Anyway, Chizkiyahu HaMelech started a real Ruach Tshuva after Achaz's passing, and he was able to go and get Klal Yisrael to do tshuva en masse, and he's considered to be one of our lifelong legendary heroes. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban, Shisha Devarim Asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech, six things Cheskiyah did, Al Shloisha Hoyd Lechacham, on three of them the Chacham were maskim, Al Shloisha Lehoyd Lechacham, the other three they were not maskim. What were the six? Gir Atzamas Oviv Al Mita Shel Chavolim Vahoyd Ulay. First thing was that after his father Achaz passed away, you would normally expect for a king that they would go and make a special bed, or at least a special coffin for the king. Instead of that, he just had his father's bones, meaning the guf, the body, being on a mita shel chavolim. Mita shel chavolim means that it was basically a stretcher, if you will, where you had connecting the two long bedposts, or the long poles. You just had chavolim, just had ropes, and the body was lying on those ropes. It's something similar to what they do today in Yerushalayim. If you've ever been to a levaya in Yerushalayim, as you know, they do not bury them in coffins, in aronois, but they're also taken on such a mita, not of chavolim, of ropes, but of interlocking metal of some sort. Anyway, but worse than that, normally, of course, when you have an oroin, people pick it up either on their shoulders or at least waist high. Here was gir atzomis oviv. They just schlepped it on the ground on the mita shel chavolim. A terrible disgrace, mamish abizoyin. Under normal circumstances, we would say, where's the kibud av of Cheski HaMelech? However, v'hoiduloi, they agree, the Chacham said, you did a good thing. And the reason why Cheski did it is because he wanted his father to get a kapora. Because of all the terrible things he did relating to Avodah Zarah during the time of his reign. So he figured the more that he'd be mavazi his father's guf on this world, the more he will help the neshama on the other world, v'hoidulay and the chacham were maskim. Number two is kites nechash hanachoshes v'hoidulay. Everybody knows about nechash hanachoshes, that in the chumash it's brought that at one time Klal Yisrael sinned in the times of the Midbar, to the point that Kodesh Baruch Hu created Nechoshim Hasrofim, these very, very poisonous snakes that went around biting people, Vayomis Amrov Mi Yisrael. Unfortunately, many people passed away. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for mercy on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei Lechosora Fesim Oisei Al Neis, go and build a serpent-looking statue. And Moshe Rabbeinu made a nechash hanachoshes, and Rashi in Chumash famously says, why out of nechoshes? Loshoin noifel al loshoin, nechosh is a snake, nechoshes is copper, nechash nechoshes, a copper snake. And many of you are familiar that even the American Medical Association, AMA, and even the Hatzalah, they have as their symbol, their insignia, a pole with a snake around it, which is supposed to represent the nechash hanachoshes. Anyway, what's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu made the Nechash HaNechoshes? Rashi and Chumash says, a very famous Chazal, V'chi Nochosh Meimis Oy Nochosh Mechaya Ela Kol Zman, that Klal Yisrael Meshabat Libam Lavim Shav Shamoyim, then the Nechash HaNechoshes had the effect, and then they had a refuah. But Chas HaSholoim, if they were not Meshabat Libam Lashamoyim, then Chas HaSholoim, the Nechash HaNechoshes didn't help. So, the point of Nechash HaNechoshes was not that Nechash HaNechoshes had some sort of magical powers, but Kol Zman Sheyu Meshabdim Eslibam Laviyim Sheba Shemoyim. They looked at this tall statue, and then they looked up to the heavens, and they remembered that the one that gives the real refuah is a Kodesh Baruch. So that was in times of Moshe Rabbeinu. In subsequent years, since the statue was still standing, many people thought, oh, this was some sort of shliach of Hashem, and it had its own magical properties, and it became almost like an avodah zarah. And people would come not only as a tourist attraction, but if they had a problem with refuah, they would be korei or mishtachve, and as a result, they were hoping to get a refuah. So it became like a shtick avodah zarah, and Chizkiah said, enough, enough, and he ground up and destroyed Nechash HaNechoshes, v'hoiduloi, and the Chum said, good ketan, he did a good thing. And finally, Goza Sefer HaRefuahs, v'hoiduloi, that he went and was goynez. Goynez means he hid, like in Gneza, the Sefer Refuahs. There was a special book of medications. Rashi doesn't say who composed it, but one of the Mefarshim says it was Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wrote it. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the Chacham Mikol Adam, he wrote down the Refuah for every type of machla. And what would happen if somebody got sick? Instead of saying Tehillim, instead of asking Rabbeinu Shlomo for Rachmim, what he did was, go and bring me the Sefer Refuahs. Don't bring me the Sefer Tehillim. What am I going to do with the Sefer Tehillim? I'm going to bring the Sefer Refuahs. And therefore, they forgot that Hashem is the Roife Chol Basar Mafli Lazois, and he was going to that Sefer. V'hoidul, and the Chacham said, good Ketan, you did the right thing. There were three things that he did that Chacham were not happy with. Number one, Kitzis Dalshu Shol Heichel, V'shigran HaMelech Asher. There was a period of time that Klal Yisrael were fighting with Melech Ashur, until Melech Ashur unfortunately conquered Klal Yisrael. and they demanded a major tax that had to be paid, a major duty. So Chizkiah took out all the treasury jewelry and all of the silver and the gold. He took everything out of storage and handed it to Asher, and Asher said, it's still not enough. What did he do? Out of desperation, he cut off the dalzel shel heichal. There was gold plating on the walls and on the doors of the heichal, and he took that gold plating from the doors, and he sent that over as well to Asher. The Chacham were not happy that he did that. V'lo yhoituloi. Sosa megichoin ho elyoin. When Asher was fighting against them to prevent the enemy troops from having water, he went and he was sosem. He clogged up, he stuffed up the upper waters of the Megichoin so that the enemy should not have water. But of course it also meant that the Yidin Yushalayim had less water. And the Chacham said, no, we don't agree with that. And finally, Ibar Nisan ben Nisan. As you know, every couple of years, we have a Shana Uberes. Next year, we're going to have the next Ibiyur. That's why this year, everything comes out fairly early on the solar calendar. Because another 11 days, it would really be early. So next year, we're going to make a new Ibiyur. But now, nowadays, of course, we have the calendar, which was made by Hillel. If I say Hillel HaZaken, Barry's immediately going to jump up and say, no, it wasn't Hillel HaZaken, it was a later Hillel. So we're not going to go into which Hillel it was. Bottom line, there was a Hillel that meant put together a calendar, and that's the calendar that we follow today, and therefore we don't have to make any further determinations. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham did have to get together every year to decide, should we not? The latest time that they could decide on making a Shana Muberes, which means to add another other, was before the end of the first Adar. So as long as you didn't finish off the Adar, which might become the Adar Rishon, if it's still Purim time, or if it's Ten Zayin, or Chav Zayin, or Chav Ches, Chav Tes, as long as you haven't started Chodesh Nissen yet, you can still say, Rabbi Sai, we hereby relabel the Chodesh Adar, which is just passed, as Adar Rishon, and now we're going to add Adar Sheini. But once you hit Nisan, once the Bezin has said, Mekudesh HaChodesh Nisan, it's really too late, you can't turn the clocks back. And guess what? Chizkiah did, even though Nisan had arrived, he said, let's add another Adar Sheini. V'lehoidle and the Chacham were not maskim to that. So, both in our Mishnah, we had six actions of the Anshei Yerichai, and here too we had the six actions of Chizkiah. We go back to explaining the Mishnah. So remember, in the Mishnah we said that, Gesundheit, all six were bad on the part of the Anshei Yerichai. Three they were mocha, three the Chachamim didn't even bother being mocha. So let's go to the first one. Markivin the Kolam Kolayoyim Heichi Avdi. Explain to me, what was this grafting of trees? So Timura, not like we typically learn, but Amr of Yehuda, Maisi Asadora, they would bring fresh hadasim, like we have hadasim on Sukkis. Vishikra, Shikra we normally translate as beer, but here it wasn't beer like they traditionally made lamashal, either from the barley or from the dates or from the hops, but rather they made it the dafna. What is dafna? Rashi says dafna is the name of a fruit of a particular tree. If you look at Rashi, almost halfway down, shikra the dafna, sheikhar shall eat, shekoyren lor. The art scroll says that lor is referring to laurel wood. Ugdalim boy pri, and on from the laurel trees grow a type of berry, a type of fruit, shekoyren baish. And you take that fruit and you squeeze it out, and that becomes the sheikhar, the juice of the laurel tree, and that's the sheikhar that we're talking about. And you add that to the fresh hadasim, and you add kimcha de sari. Kemach, of course, is flour. Sari is barley. Derumbi bemonadli chalfi alei arbon yoimin. Where the kemach had stood in this container for less than 40 days. So you take these three ingredients, umir sechiluhu, and now you cook them and warm them and heat them up together. Vashadaluhu ledikla belibe. And then you find conveniently what we call today the heart of palms, right? You can get heart of palms in a can, and they got a heart of palms there too. I'm not exactly sure how that works, the heart of palms. Maybe there's some natural place that you can insert this type of, if you will, medication or this solution. Or maybe you have to make an incision. But bottom line is they would go and pour this drink, this potion of the three ingredients, into the decal. Now, if you think that this was only slightly effective, you have a big mistake.
What
the Gemara is telling us is that this was so effective to cause the tree to go and draw all the nutrients and all the minerals from the ground. If you had another tree, which was right next door within Arba Amas, if you didn't do that same type of grafting like the Gemara calls it, then it would immediately go and dry up and the tree would wither and die. So it shows you how potent this potion was. So this was something that they did even on Erev Pesach. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two is a more typical, what we would call grafting. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava Omar, manchi kufra dichra linuk vasa. They would go and take a branch of a zohar tree and put it into a nakeva tree. Now what does it mean, a zohar tree and a nakeva tree? Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi's first pshat is that the word zohar and nakeva are really lav dafka. These are just metaphors, and it's trying to tell us that by putting in this new branch into the older tree, it's in a sense reinvigorating the older tree, and it is similar to what we talk about in Chazal, that the Zohar is the Mashpia and the Nekeva is the Makabel. The reason why the Zohar is the Mashpia and the Nekeva is Makabel is because in the act of Tashmish, the man is the one that does the insemination, and the woman is the one that's mikabelas, she receives the zera, and therefore, same thing over here, that you go and take the branch which is inserted in the tree, it's in a sense similar to a zohar being boiled in the cave. That's the first pshat of Rashi. Second pshat of Rashi, no, we're really talking about the male trees and the female trees, and you'll recall that we've spoken about this earlier in our Masechta, in fact, not even too long ago, that there are certain trees which are called male trees, and the reason why they're male trees is because they never develop fully ripened dates or figs or what have you, but rather the fruit is usually stunted, as opposed to the female trees where they constantly produce and reproduce very, very nicely. In fact, it was a hot news item a few months ago, the Neretz Yisrael, they found some old seeds for Chavais from 1,000 years ago, and they found that the seeds were still intact, and they planted them, and they realized that some of the seeds were from male trees and some from female trees, and the male trees didn't do very well, and the female trees did a very great job. I'm sure all of those of you that know anything about trees and agriculture and all that understand what male trees and female trees are. Anyway, but the point is that they grafted one on top of the other, and taka the word, dichra and nukvasa, these are dafka, these are not just metaphors, but two different types of trees, the males and the females, and they mated them. Now,
they cut down a pair of shvias of a male tree, and that's why it was permissible, because it was the male tree didn't produce the fruit or something. It was about 3 or 4 days ago, I believe.
You're 100% right. We did talk about them, that in the Gemara, and yes, and the Gemara referred to nischani, where the Gemara said those nischani were fruits that never fully developed. They remained in their very stunted growth stage, and the Gemara talked about those as being, Rashi explained that those are from the male trees. Anyway, what's the reason why the Chachamim were upset? They were upset because of the fact that they were working on Erev Pesach. Why did the Anshei Arichai do that? Didn't they know you're not allowed to work on Erev Pesach? Not only in those Mekoimis where they did work, because the Mishnah says that they were Markov Kol Hayoyim, which means even in the afternoon. In the afternoon, that was a standard procedure. This was universal. All Mekoimis people did not work on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So, Bazoi, how did the Anshei Arichai change that minig? How did they fight it? And why weren't the Chachamim Moicha? And the answer is Zug L'Mefarshim, because as we see, this was a very, very potent potion that they put into the Dikla, and without doing it, the other trees, in fact, all withered and dried out. So you see how important this is. And the Anshei Arichai felt that this was Meleches Dover HaOved. And just like you're allowed to do Melechas Dovra Oved on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Al Achas Kamo VeKamo, you're allowed to go and do it on Erev Pesach. And that's why they were Mekel, and they did it. Another reason that's given is because they, Anshei Arichai, felt that the reason why you're not allowed to go and do Melacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon is because everybody is busy with the Karban Pesach. Is bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, of course you don't have time to go and do anything else. You can't go to the office. You can't work in the field. You got to go and take your Erev Pesach, Karban Pesach, to the Beis HaMikdash to make sure it's geshachten, and there's going to be a huge crowd. People came en masse. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people came to the Beis HaMikdash to go and bring their kabbanis. So that being the case, you didn't have time. But those people in Yerichai, either post Beis HaMikdash or perhaps even Bizman Beis HaMikdash Kaim, if they were not able to go and be Oyle Regel for whatever reason to Yerushalayim, so they felt that this doesn't apply, and therefore they were Mekel. But the Chum said, no, this is universal, you're not allowed to do work. So they were upset, but they were not Mekel. Continuing on, the Korach and the Shema. What's the Korach and the Shema? We said there are three Pshatim, Hechi, Avdi. What did they do? Amr of Yehuda, Oymer of Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Alakenu Hashem, Echad, V'loi Hoyu Mafsikin. They said Shema Yisrael without taking a break. Now, what's wrong with that? Of course you shouldn't take a break in the middle of Shema. Are you supposed to be Mafsik, B'dibur, in the middle of Chas V'Shalom? You're not even speak during Psukah Zimra after Baruch Sha'amar. Certainly not Birchus Krish. Certainly Kriya Shema itself, Shema Yisrael. What's the Vloyim Masikim? So there's a machloikis here between Rashi and Tosis. Rashi says that after they finish the word Echad, the next word, as we know, leaving out Baruch Shem. We're going to talk about Baruch Shem in another couple of moments. But the next words in the Torah are V'yahavta Eis Hashem Lekecha B'chol Levavcha, etc. Zokt Rashi, Shema Yisrael is a reaffirmation of our allegiance to the Rabbeinu Shlom. It's lehavdol like the Pledge of Allegiance that many of us did many years ago when we were in elementary school. We pledged allegiance by saying Shema Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're the only God, you're the only master of the universe, and we are your servants, a pledge of allegiance of a Yid. That you are take upon yourself Oil Malchus Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemai. When you start from the Ahavta, says Rashi, although that's part and parcel of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim, V'Ahavta Hashem Lekecha B'chol Levavcha, but Rashi says that's already B'loshen Tzivui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us, Rabbo Yisai, V'Ahavta, you have to love the Rabbeinu Shalom, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshach, B'chol Meyedecha, you have to put in every fiber of your being to go and love Hashem. It's not enough to have an allegiance, because that allegiance could be based on Yira, respect and reverence. I don't want respect and reverence. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want a hava Hashem. So therefore, says the Gemara, they didn't make a break. Right after Hashem, Echad V'Ahavta, without taking a break. That's the Leim of Sikin, and the Chacham were not happy with that. Toysis says a brand new Pshat, and the Pshat sounds almost like a Drush or a Hasidish Pshat. We're going to learn every Toisvus here on the Amud Aleph. So if anybody asks you whether the Daf Yoimi in our Shir we learn Toisvus, yes, not only one Toisvus, we're going to learn the entire Toisvus and all the Toisvus in here on the Amud Aleph. What does Toisvus say? When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, really after Shema Yisrael you should put a comma, maybe a semicolon. Shema Yisrael, remember Shema Yisrael, the origins are that the Bnei Yaakov said to Yaakov Avinu, Shema Yisrael, our father Yisrael, listen, we are on the same page with you. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we agree with you, this is only one Rabbeinu Shalom. That's Bashub Shat. Or nowadays you can say Shema Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, listen to what I'm saying. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we all pledge allegiance to Kaviyachal, the Rabbeinu Shalom. However, they stopped with their comma after word Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem. And that can be interpreted as if you're saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Shema Yisrael, listen to the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Every day we're mispal three times a day, and we say Tehillim, and we pour out our hearts. Shema Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, listen to our tefillahs. Now, of course, that's not the right pshat, but that's what they did. Give a kick to the top choices. Liam Afsikin, Ben Shema Yisrael Hashem. They should have made a short stop. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but they combine the words together, Shema Yisrael Hashem. And therefore, the mashma, the oimel Hashem, it's as if we're pleading HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyishma Yisrael, listen to Klal Yisrael V'yanem, and answer their tefillos and their bakashas. So, again, the Chacham weren't happy. It sounded almost like Amaratzis. And the Chacham, however, were not Moicha. No, they said such a funny tefillah, they were mafsik, nishkefelach. Rav Amma mafsikin hayu. The problem was not in the Shema Yisrael, but later on we say in the Pasuk, the Haftas Yisrael Mekech, and then we said, Hayoim, Vahayu Kol Advar Ma'ila, we have here the Torah Ara Sholim, Vahayu Advar Ma'ila, Shanoich Mitzavcha Hayoim, Al Levavecha. What they did was, instead of saying, Shanoich Mitzavcha Hayoim, they said, Vahayu Advar Ma'ila, Shanoich Mitzavcha. Hayoim Alavavecha. Today, whatever mitzvahs that you've given me, Rabbi Nishloilam, those are going to be on my heart, Alavavecha. But not tomorrow. Hayoim Alavavecha. So tomorrow, Hayoim Alavavecha, the Mashma, Hayoim Alavavecha, Veloi Mocher Alavavecha. Once again, obviously, this is wrong. It's almost blasphemy. It was probably totally unintentional. But nevertheless, the Chachamim, it was Shaloi Birtsoinam, but they were not Moich. Tanur Rabban. There's a further elaboration on this idea of the problem with Korchen Shema. It's talking about Ketzer Yer Korchen Shema. Oy Mishma Yisrael Hashem Lekenach Shema Chod. V'lo Yoyim Hafzik in the Reb Meir. That was the first shot that we had from Rav Yehuda, and we have the Machloikis Rashi and Toysim V'lo Yoyim Hafzikin between either Echad and the Ahavta, or between Yisrael and Hashem, like we had in the Toysis. Oh, a brand new pshat. We didn't have this pshat until now. They were mafsik. They stopped before v'yahafta. The problem was that they left out Baruch Shem Kavoyim Malchusai. Frank Yimara Vanan my time amrinan. After all, if you look in the pasuk, the word Baruch Shem doesn't appear anywhere. It just says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. We all know that in Parshas Veschanan, beginning of Devarim, you have Shema Yisrael, it doesn't say Baruch Shem. But this is a famous, famous Agada, which all of us learned when we were still kids. It says in the Pasuk, Yikra Yaakov, Elbona, V'yomer, this Pasuk we had at the end of Vayechi, two Parshias ago, that Yaakov Avinu, before he blessed his sons, he called them together, he also said, Eisa Sheyikra Eschem B'Achris Hayom, come over, come together, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. What means at the end of days? Because Yaakov Legalis Laban of Ketz Yamin. Yaakov Avinu wanted to go and be Megala. What's going to happen at the end of days? Now, normally the word Ketz Yamin is understood as Ketz Hayomim, the end of days. Rashi, however, gives a different shot of Ketz Yamin. It means when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to Kaviyochel restore his right hand to the front of his body. Again, Kaviyochel. Meaning that when a warrior goes out to war, he goes, of course, with his hands in front of him in battle. The right hand will be holding the gun, the spear, the grenade, the sword, whatever it happens to be. The Pasuk in the beginning of Eicha says that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu let Klal Yisrael be vanquished by its enemies, it says, Heshiv Ochar Yeminoi Mipnei Oyev. Literally, Heshiv Ochar Yeminoi means a Kodesh Baruch Hu put his right hand in back of his back. So he was only fighting with his left hand, so to speak. Again, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not have a physical form, so these are all metaphors. But the point is, Kodesh Baruch Hu put away his right hand, and when Mashiach will finally come, that will be the Ketz Hayomin. That will be the end of those days where Kodesh Baruch Hu is hiding his right hand, he'll take his right arm out to do battle against the enemies. Anyway, so Bikish Yaakov, he wants him to go out of the Ketz, unfortunately, the Shechina left him. Omar, so Yaakov Avinu said, "Shemachas v'sholem yesh b'mitosi posel k'avram shiyotzi b'menu yishmal." Maybe the reason why the Shechina has left me is because one of my kids, unfortunately, is OTD, has gone off the derech. Just like Avram Avinu, my Zayde, had Yishmael that went off the derech. Vavi Yitzchak and my father Yitzchak, Yotzim Imenu Esav. Maybe one of my 12 kids similarly. Amr Leibonav, as soon as they heard that, they said, Shema Yisrael, Tata, Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem Aleikeinu, Hashem Echad, we believe in the same God and the same Ribbono Shel Olam, just like you. Amru, and they said very clearly, Kishem Shein Belibcha Ela Echad, just like you only have belief and min and bituchen in the Heilige Meshef and the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chach Ein Belibeini Ela Echad, we have the exact same, we're on the same page, the same daf, Daf Yoimi, together with you, Yaakov Avinu. As soon as Yaakov heard that, Posach Yaakov Avinu Yomar, Baruch Shem Kevoy Machusel Anaved, like we would say today when you hear Psura Toiva, oh, Baruch Hashem. So he said, Baruch Shem Kevoy. Amir Rabbanan, so now the Rabbanan are in a quandary. The Rabbanan are now being misakin the Tfilois. Heichin Avin, what should we do? Noimruhu, should Klal Yisrael say Baruch Shem out loud? Li Amr Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. After all, look in Parshas Vo'eschanan. There's no sign, nothing about Baruch Shem. Lo Yinamru, should we not say it? Amroi Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu said it. So you know what? Let's make a compromise. We're going to go and say it quietly. The Vusep is quietly. So Amr Yitzchak Ami Devei Reb Ami. Marshal, I'll give you a marshal. Lebas Melech Sheiricha Tzike Kedera. Lebas Melech smelled the delicious scent of a brew or of a stew that had delicious spices, and the Bas Melech said, ah, this smells good. Now, because she was from the royal household, she was born into nobility, the monarchy, aristocracy, she was embarrassed in Toimar if she's going to go and say, hey, waiter, can you bring me some of that stew? Yesh l'gnai, it's pasnish. It's not right. She's a chabas melech. She should have a craving desire that she should express. Hey, can you get me a piece of pizza? I'd like to have two pieces of sushi. It's pasnish. The bas melech doesn't talk like that. Loitoima, if she should remain silent, yesh l'tzar. But she wanted some of that tziki gedera. It smelled so good. Anyway, yischilu avadeh lahavi b'chashoy. Her avodim got the signal. Either they saw on that look of consternation on the Malka and the Bas Melech's face, they realized, oh, she wants some of that tzikdeira, and they brought it b'chashoy quietly. Under the table, nobody should notice. So we too, we don't want to offend Yaakov Avinu by not saying. We don't want to offend Moshe Rabbeinu by saying, and so therefore we say it quietly. Omer b'evol, hiskinu shihu oymim oysei b'koil ram, b'mnei tarum asaminim. That in later years they decided we're going to go and say it out loud because of the minim. Now minim we normally translate as heretics, but we don't just mean over here apikarsim. We mean over here the Rosh Tevis of the word min is either me'anshu yeshu natsri or me'talmide yeshu natsri, which both mean the gospels, the talmidim, of yeshu natsri means of Yoshka. And the problem is that wherever the minim could go and insert themselves, they did. And they said, you know what? Everybody's saying in shul quietly. After they Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, then they also go and say something quietly that they are showing respect to Chas V'Shalom, the Trinity, met the mother, met the father, met the zin, met the, no, there is no father, I'm sorry. Met the mother, but mother Mary, I think it was. Met the kind, met the Yoshkala. Anyway, so bottom line is this, that's what they're saying quietly. So that's terrible. Chas V'Shalom, nobody's saying that quietly. So therefore the Chum said, say it, b'koil rash gadol, b'chbaruch shem, so there won't be any doubts that the Minim were trying to plant seeds into the minds of the youth to mislead them. U'b'ne'edor, the Lekha Minim, b'chashem, b'ne'edor didn't have this problem, ad hashta, even till today, amri l'b'chashoy, and therefore they still say it quietly. I'm sure many of you wonder to yourself, how come in Yom Kippur we all say baruch shem out loud? Why isn't that a problem? And in fact, the Tur Shulchan Aruch says that the reason why we say it out loud on Yom Kippur, based on another Chazal, which is not as famous as this one, that in fact Moshe Rabbeinu himself said Baruch Shem Kevoid. Where did he learn of this Baruch Shem, says the Tur Shulchan Aruch? He heard it a secret from the Malachim. As the Gemara says in the Mi Gila Rozel Lebonai, who went and revealed this secret? Moshe Rabbeinu heard the secret from Malachim. He didn't want to infuriate the Malachim, so Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it quietly. However, says Tur Shulchan Aruch, when it comes on Yom Kippur, we were all doimel lemalachim. We wear the white kittels, and therefore we at least have that outward appearance of the malachim. And hopefully we've all done tshuva, and that tshuva goes and cleanses us from all of our sins, so we almost bebechinas malach. So then it's appropriate that we should say Baruch Shem, just like the malachim go and say it. So the Mogen Avraham asks, don't we have now a stira between the two agadotas? In our Gemara, the agada says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. In the other agada, it says Moshe Rabbeinu did say it. He learned it from the malachim. Says the Mogen Avraham that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it quietly, just like we do. He didn't want to get the malachim perturbed that he knows the secret. But on the other hand, he wanted to go and use this magical type of tefillah, and said Moshe Rabbeinu himself said Baruch Shem quietly, and we say it on Yom Kippur because we are Doimel Malach. Okay, all of that is great, and now we have a Braisa. And the Braisa focuses on the six actions of our Mishnah, of the Anshi Rihoi, but as you'll see, it's slightly different. We have Reb Meir and we have Reb Yehuda, and Reb Meir has a slightly different list than our Mishnah. Don Rabban, we learned in the Brayta Shishi Devarim also Anshi Yerichoi Shloisha Birtzayn Chacham Ushloisha Shloi Birtzayn Chacham. So even before we continue on, this is already a major difference in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah the Chachamim were not happy with any of the six actions and customs of the Anshi Yerichoi. Just the Mishnah said Shloisha Michu. Three of them they got so agitated, irritated, upset that they had to make a macha. And the other three, they were quiet, but they were never happy with any of the six. Well, according to Reb Meir, no, three of them were fine. It's only the three that they were shloi b'tzon chacham. Ve'ele b'tzon chacham, markivin the column kol hayoim. They did the harkovas, the column, the entire erev Pesach. Ve'korchen eshma, and they said all the different lashonis that we had in our Gemara, whether it means that they said it without a hefzik, mitveh hafta, or like Toises Shema Yisrael Hashem, or mit the Baruch Shem Kavoyed, un the Baruch Shem, and the other pshat of Hayoim, v'loy lamochar, all of that was Birtzoin Chacham. The Chachamim were not too upset about it. V'koitzen lefnei Oimer. Oh, this is really different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, we had Koitzen v'goitzen, and remember, Rashi took out the Koitzrin. So the Koitzrin said, that's no problem, because from Yerichoi, we're not going to go and bring the Tvua anyway for the Oimer, because it was inferior, substandard quality. No problem. The Eilish Lebetzin Chom, the following three were Taka, they were upset. Goitzrin lefnei Oimer, like we had in the Mishnah. Uparts and parotis beginoi sayin, ubepartis I sayin, lahachil neshir laniyim b'shnei betzayris, b'shabosis v'yom taivim. That's what we had at the top of the Amud, the top line. We had three words, four words, for oichlem mitachas hanisharim b'shabbos, that they ate under the trees the fruit that had fallen down on Shabbos. Here the Braisa expands and tells us not that the balabatim, but it's really that the balabatim went and made holes in the fences around their gardens and around their orchards. L'hachal nesha, to be able to go and feed the nesharim, meaning those fruits that fell down, even on Shabbos. B'shnei betzoyres, during the famine years. B'shabbos v'yom toif. Now, the b'shabbos v'yom toif doesn't mean they made the holds in the fence of Shabbos v'yom toif. It means they made the holds on Thursday and Friday to allow the aniyim to climb into the fields on Shabbos v'yom toif. That was again shloi b'tzon chacham, and finally matin gamzio shel hegdish shel chorav shel shikma, like we had in our Mishnah about the gamzio shel hegdish, that the fathers had been makdish the boxa trees and the shikma, the sycamore trees, and that afterwards when the new branches came out, the children went and used those branches, and they were potentially over on meila giduli hegdish ke hegdish lav ke hegdish, as we discussed briefly in the Mishnah. Divrei Rav Meir. The Gemara is going to discuss this in greater detail on the Amud Beis. Notice Rav Meir leaves out one that we had in the Mishnah, and that was the Noisan Peyali Yerek that we had in the Mishnah. Rav Meir doesn't count that. That's not part of his list of six. So Rav Meir is different than our Mishnah. Amud Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Meir, and he says, "In Bertzoin Chachamim Hayu Oisin." The first three you said Bertzoin Chacham, the Markivin, the Kolim, and the Korchene Shema. If you're going to tell me that was B'tzayin Chacham, you call all the Moisin came. So why did this remain only a local custom of the Bnei Yerichai? Everybody should be doing this. After all, the Chachamim were happy. It was Bertzayin Chachamim. Ela Eilu Ve'Eilu Shloi Bertzayin Chachamim. All six were against the Chachamim's will. They were upset about all of them. However, Hayu Oisim. On three, they made a machoa public protest. On the other three, they were quiet, even though they were not happy, but they didn't make a machoa. Which three were they not moicha? Mark even the column kala yoy, like we had in the Mishnah. Here we bring again both the koitzin and goitzin together. Rashi took out the koitzin in our Mishnah. Here we have the koitzin. It's important. We'll see on the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to focus on that. You'll also notice that L'chayra, the count is wrong. Because we're saying that there were three things, Shaloi Michu. What were the three? Markivin the Kolim, Korchen Shema, and then you have Koitzrin V'Goitzin. L'chayra, that's four. And don't tell me Koitzrin V'Goitzin, that's counted as one. Because remember, Reb Meir split it up. And he said, the Koitzrin, B'Tzoyin Chacham. The Goitzin Shaloi Bertzayin Chacham. So you see, these are two separate entities. So the count, it should be four and not three. The Gemara is going to discuss this on the Amid Beis. The following three that were Moicha, Matin Gomtu Shal Hegdish, Shal Chorav Shal Shikma, Uports and Parot to begin the same, but part the same, Lahachal Neshalad Niyam Bishabasav Yom Toivim, Bishne Batsiris, and finally Noisim Peli Yerek. Oh, so these are the same six that we had in the Mishnah, or seven that we had in the Mishnah, and the Michal Yanachacham, the Chamu Moicha on the final three. Frank Dimar. I'm going to ask now a stira Rabbi Yehuda of this Braisa to the following nameless Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to conclude that that Mishnah also goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have a contradiction, a stira Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. What's the stira? You just said now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ketzira, Shaloi Bertzayin Chachamim Hi. Remember, we had the original list of the three or four, and it said, Koitzin v'goitzin lefnei oimer, that was part of those that were shaloi bertzoin chachomim, but loi michu biyodim. Freit imar basab Rabbi Yehuda ktsir shaloi bertzoin chachomim, that is shaloi bertzoin chachomim. What now we learned in the Mishnah in Masechtas Menachos. An she yerichoi koitzin lefnei oimer bertzoin chachom. The Chum had no problem with the Koitzrin, because remember, their tvua was substandard, it was inferior. So there's no problem of tzira. That was Bertzayin Chacham. The Goitzin Lefnei Oimer, that was Shaloi Bertzayin Chacham. Because we were afraid that people would put kernels of wheat or barley in their mouths and they would eat it before the bringing of the Karmen Oimer. And the Chum were not, V'loi Bicham Biyodim Chacham. The Chum were not Meichem. Okay, so now this Mishnah is anonymous. There is no name. But the Gemara immediately says, Man Shamus Le Da'ama Micho V'Loi Micho. Who uses those words, Micho V'Loi Micho? That was Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to the Rameyer says, the difference between the three and the three is, this is Bertzayin Chacham, and these are Shaloi Bertzayin Chacham. Not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, all six are Shaloi Bertzayin Chacham. The three were Moicha, and the three that were not Moicha. Aha. So therefore, since this Mishnah uses the term V'Loi Micho V'Yan Chachamim, who must be talking? Must be Rabbi Yehuda. And Uktanin, it says, Koitzin Bertzoin Chachamim. Yet you said on the Omed Aleph, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that among those things that were Shaloi Bertzoin Chachamim, even though Loi Michu, was both Koitzin V'Goitzin, both together. So I see that Koitzin was Shaloi Bertzoin Chachamim. And yet the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos says, the Koitzin of the Omed Bertzoin Chachamim. Havach Nachasti Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Freitim of the Tamech. Why do you have to ask a stira from an outside source, from the Mishnah, to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa? Ask directly on the Braisa itself a stira. Freitim of the Tamach, Hani Arbo Have. How does the Braisa say there were three that they were not Moicha, three that they were Moicha? There's no three. There's four. The Harkovasad, the Kolim, the faulty Kriya Shema, and then we had the Koitzin V'Goitzin, that's four. Alasam Mikan Ksira, Tzefa'em from by the Kashis. To answer both questions, just delete the word Ksira from the Braisa, and then have no problem. Then I only have three which are left, because There's no problem at all doing ktsira in Yerichai. Since it was inferior quality tefillah, you could do as much ktsira as you want. It was Britzoin Chachamim, nobody was Moicha, ktsira is fine. The Goichin was problematic. Okay, now a lot of what we're going to learn now in the Amud Beis, we've already discussed in the Amud Aleph, so it will go fairly quickly. Zok the Gemara, Umatim Gomzio Shal Hegdish, Shal Chorev, Shal Shikma. Amru, the people that used the Gamzias, remember the Gamzias are the newly formed branches that grew out of the Chorev and Shikma trees that their ovois had been maktish to Berek HaBais. Amru, we said, Lehitisha ala Koirois. They were only maktish koiris. Koiris usually means beams, but in this connection it means the trunk of the tree. Why? Because we're talking about giduli hegdish. And giduli hegdish, the anshi arichai held, there is no me'ilah, so there's no problem. So, why were the chacham upset? Why were they moicha? You don't have to bring a korban asham me'ilois, but there's nevertheless an isur me'ika. That isur is an isur drabanon. That the chacham said, okay, there's no isur diraisa, but don't have enough and gduli hegdish medrabanon. And the anshi arichai didn't know about this drabanon, or they ignored it, and that's why the chacham had to make a macha. Continuing on a parts and process, he would go and make holes in the fences, and the aniyim would eat from the pedish and nashru. We spoke about in the Mishnah briefly that we have a muktzah problem. But it's not only a muktzah problem. That's going to be a little bit later in the Gemara. I have another problem. Here we're talking about fruits that fall down from the tall palm trees. If you've ever been to Miami, or if you haven't, speak to David after the shir is over, David Reese. He will tell you about the palm trees in Miami. They're fairly tall. And at the top of those trees, there are dates that grow. You can't even see them. They're usually so tall. And it's hard to get to them. But when there comes a powerful wind, the wind will blow down the dates. And they'll blow them down up to three levels. Level number one is they'll just blow it off the place where it's connected to the tree. And they'll fall at the top of the tree. The top of the tree is where you have the lulavim that you didn't cut for Sukkot, you left them there. And slowly but surely they expanded, all the leaves came out and they came hard. Many of you have probably seen in Yerushalayim that they use these opened up former lulavim and they put them on as schach on top of their sukkos. Anyway, those leaves at the top of the palm trees form almost like a basket and the tamarim fall into it, the dates fall into them. And if you have a more powerful wind, then some of those tamarim will fall down mid-level, and that's what we call Ben HaKipin. And then if they fall all the way down to the ground, they fall Ben HaShitzin. And just like Brother Shai reminded us of the Gemara we had before in Shemitah year, about the Peder Shemitah, whether you're allowed to eat from the Nischani, from the male trees. You remember Brother Shai brought that to our attention on the Amud Aleph. Similarly, the Gemara talked about it was kolala chayim and asoda, where there were still fruits on the bottom in the shitzin, in among the thorns, but they were not on the kippin level, on the mid-level. Our Gemara doesn't go into the shitzin level, we only talk about those all the way at the top, and those in the middle. Now those on the way in the top, the Gemara calls their bishel machbedois. Machbedois is usually is defined as a broom that you use for sweeping. You're machbedes abayis. You go and sweep out the house. The reason why they're called machbedes is because in the good old days, many people used to use those leaves from the top of the trees. After they were cut from the tree, they would use them not only for schach, but they would also use them as brooms to go and sweep away the dirt and the dust and the garbage, etc. Anyway, so Amar Ulam Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. The machloikis between the Anshi Arichai and the Chachamim was b'shel machbedes. Those fruits that fell on the top of the tree. The Rabbanan Savri. You know why we shouldn't allow them to eat from the Peiris HaNoichim that fell on the tree Machbedois, on those tops of the tree? You know what's going to happen? If you're going to go and tell me that they could eat from the Peiris that fell off of the tree, they didn't fall to the ground, they fell on the top, on those Machbedois. They're still lying there, but they're no longer Mechuber. Now they're tolish. To get to them, people are going to go and climb up the tree. They're going to go and taste the fruit and say, this is delicious. And they might be tolish, they might be kotze, they might cut off some more of the fruit, and therefore the Chacham said, no, don't be yala v'yitlosh. Some of you are thinking, why did we have to talk about yala v'yitlosh? Don't we generally have a problem we had in Masechtas Erevin and back in Masechtas Shabbos, that you're not allowed to be mishtamesh be'ilan, you're not allowed to have any hanofa, meaning you're not allowed to climb up a tree, that's why you can't put an eruvi tchumen on top of a tree, that's the reason why on Sukkis you can't go and put pots or pans or something else on branches of a tree, if one of the trees, for instance, is the wall of the sukkah. All you're not to be mishtamish b'ilan. Our Gemara doesn't go into that. The long toises here on the side, starting from the top, it's almost as tall as one of the palm trees. Anyway, that's for homework. You can look through it, why we don't have a mishtamish b'ilan issue. The issue that we do have, however, is the Chacham were afraid. If they're going to climb up the tree and eat from the tlushin, from the nisharim, those that fell down, they're going to go and eat from the mechubarim. They're going to be toleish. And Shiricha said, no. The average person doesn't start climbing up palm trees. You have nothing to worry about. And even if he does climb up a palm tree, he's not going to be toleish the fruit. So that's the machlekes. Al b'shol ben akipin, fruit that fell down from up above to the mid-level, where they stopped on branches which are sticking out of the tree. Everybody said that's mutter, because just because they're going to eat from those fruit, nobody's going to have a half a minute to start climbing up to go and rip out some more fruit, be ochre them or tolish them from the branches. Omli Rova says, everybody agreed Ben Akipin is mutter. After all, some of these fruit fell on Shabbos. It's a noilad, it's a mukta issue. There should be a machlokes. Maybe the reason why there is no problem of mukta is because these fruits can be eaten by ravens. And if you remember, we had this already back in Masechta Shabbos, that among the aristocracy, instead of just having cats and dogs like we have here on the west side, many of them would grow in their homes not parakeets, but orvim, ravens. And in fact, many neighbors would go and tell their fellow neighbors about what wonderful orvim they had. They were raving about it. And they said, these are wonderful ravens. They were not fowl. They were real ravens. Okay, anyway, the point is, ravens love to eat dates. So much so, Rashi says, that they would often go and call the orvim, and they would say, okay, meal time, suda time. They would open the window and say, go to the top of the palm trees and eat as many dates as you want. Amachai. And they went. They knew either English or Hungarian or Yiddish or whatever the language that was spoken, Spanish perhaps. Anyway, and they went and ate from the palm trees and even Gevaldik. Ah, so says the Gemara, so these are not really muktza, because I had my das that the orvin are going to eat from those fruits. So if the fruits fall down, I wasn't makt mitat, I didn't go and separate it from my mind. I was thinking about them that we're going to give them for the orvin. Zokti Mar. Maybe you're going to go say, hoyo with the chazi li orphan, that's why they're not mukta. L'choyer, that's not a good svara. Hash the mucha li odom lo yhava mucha li klovim. What happens if you have meat before Shabbos? The meat was not meat that you have in the refrigerator, but it was meat still in the form of live animals. These live animals are mucha li odom. Nobody is thinking of feeding these live animals even after they either die or geshachten to the klovim. When they're alive, I'm thinking of shechting them, not on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, but on Sunday, Monday, next week, next month, next year, eventually go and shech these animals, we should be able to eat from them. So, the halach is, if it's muchan le'odom, lo yihav muchan le'klovim. It's not considered to be muchan for a kelev, in case the animal dies on Shabbos. If you have a nevela on Shabbos that was not a nevela from Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos it was still alive and kicking. On Shabbos, the animal expired, and it became an avela. Asura, you're not allowed to feed it to your dogs on Shabbos. Lefisha ate him in a muchan. It's not muchan. What do you mean it's not muchan? It was muchan li adam on Erev Shabbos. I could have shechted it at that time. It was muchan li adam. So why isn't it muchan now when it became an avela on Shabbos? The answer is because muchan li adam li have a muchan li klavim. So for Eitimara, muchan li arvim have a muchan li adam. Madach, if it's muchan li adam, it's not muchan for animals. If it's muchan for the ravens, it's muchan li adam. Amalei told him, yes, and that's right. Muchan li adam, lo yehava muchan li klavim. You know why? Anything that a human being can use, he doesn't say, well, I'm not going to eat this, I'm going to give it to my dog. If there's any possibility that I can use it myself, I'm going to keep it for myself. So therefore, if the animal is alive and kicking, I certainly don't have any intention of giving any of this animal, any of its meat, to the klav. Unfortunately, it died. But anyway, so mukhali adam liha mukhali klav. However, anything that a person can have benefit from, he's very happy and he thinks about it. And everybody thinks about the dates at the top of the palm tree, if they own ravens, because they tell the ravens, go and eat, and they go and eat. So, I'm not going to be machts midatoi, forget. It's within my mind, within my senses all the time. Sure, I'm using these palm trees to the limit. And if I can give it to the arvim, fine. And if some of them fall down, it'll be mukhan for me too. So this was the first pshat, that the machloikis is davke legabe, the fruits all the way at the top, and shema yalav yitlash. Ki osu rovin b'shem elokish no punk fakert. Machloikim b'shel ben kipin. The fruits that fell down, which are waist high or human body high. The rabbanan sabri mukhan li orvin li hava mukhan li odom. That machlokes that we just spoke about where the dates falling down on Shabbos, are they mukhan or are they muktza? That's the machlokes. And the Chacham said, this is noila, this is muktza, don't eat it on Shabbos. However, but if it was all the way at the top to be a kol osur, that everybody would breathe its osur, because maybe people are going to climb up and try to go and take not only from the Tlushim, but also from the Mechubarim. So therefore we have two Pshatim in the Mishnah, the difference of opinion between the Anshi Yerichoi and the Chacham. And finally, we have at the end of the Mishnah, Noisa Pele Yerek, where the Chacham were Moiche. Zok Dimar, Vilesli Anshi Yerichoi, Hodit Nan? Didn't the Anshi Yerichoi learn Mishnayis at the very beginning of Masechtas Peah? It says, "Klal om bepeya kol shu oichel v'nishmar v'gdulam in ha'aretz l'kitosa ki'achas machnisa l'kiyam chay bepeya." Which crops are chay bepeya? Not all crops. They have to have certain requirements. They have to be ochel, nishmar, g'dulam in ha'aretz, l'kitosa ki'achas, v'machnisa l'kiyam. What do all these things mean? Zokti man, kol shu oichel prat l'svichestis v'koitze. Rashi says, "Svichestis v'koitze are inedible." In other Gemaras, it says that they use those as dyes, to go and dye fabric. Since it's not edible, no din of pay. It's not an ochel. V'nishmar, you only chay pay prat lehefker. If you come across a hefker field that nobody's tending to, it's hefker and things are growing, you could take all the produce and you do not have to leave payah. It's only nishmar. Hefker is potem and a payah. V'gidulam na'aretz, it has to have nourishment from the ground. Prat lekmeimu pitriyos. Mushrooms, even though they look like they're growing from the ground, they're really growing from the avir. And that's why the Gemara in Bracha says, we make a shakel on mushrooms, you know, make a boir priyadama. Ulkitos and ke'achas, prat le'te'enim, and certain other fruit, figs and other fruit, when you harvest them, you don't go and pick them from the trees all at one time. Some you pick today, and some next week, and some 2 weeks later. And therefore, those things that you don't make, ulkita achas, no din of pay. And finally, Machnisa l'kiyam, it's the type of thing that you can store for extended periods of time, such as tevuah. Tevuah you can go and put, as you know, they go and cut the tevuah for the matzis months before, and they put them in these sealed containers, sealed storage bins, so that they afterwards use it for matzis mitzvah. So that's, you can be machnisa l'kiyam. Mashenke vegetables, you can be machnisa l'kiyam. So that being the case, getting back to our halacha in Anshi Yerichoi, didn't the Anshi Yerichoi know that Yerokos is something that is not machnisa l'kiyam, and therefore there's no din of peya? Ami bin Amarav, halacha ben Rashi lefasei saskinan, a lefes is a turnip. Anybody that has ever eaten a turnip or seen a turnip knows that it lasts much longer than, for instance, a tomato, because a turnip is a hard thing. But more than that, turnips, like cucumbers, many people, at least in the times of Chazal, I'm not familiar today, in the times of Chazal, people used to pickle the turnips by going and putting it into either vinegar or water and leaving it for a long time till it would become pickled. Now, when they put the lefis in, they put it in with the leaves of the lefis. Not that the leaves helped by putting it into the pickling. It didn't really help. Normally, people would not go and put turnip leaves to go and pickle them alone. But if they're connected to the turnips, instead of removing the leaves, they leave the leaves. They leave the leaves on the turnips, and they also get pickled. So, says Agumar, the turnips themselves of Vada have a mitzvah of payet, because machnisa lekiyam, you can go and pickle the turnips and hold them for 6 months or longer. The leaves, however, person typically would not leave on the turnip, or at least he wouldn't leave them for pickling on their own. But people will leave them on the turnip and not snip them off, just leave them there, and they would be together with the turnip inside the pickle bottle. Ah, the question is about those leaves. Is there a din of peya or not? Does Yogti Gemara? So Rosh Lefasi means these leaves attached to the turnips, that you do store the leaves connected to the Dover Acher, meaning to the turnip itself. And that's why the Anshi Yericho said, we're going to go and give payah from the turnip leaves. Nah, you don't intentionally go and pickle leaves. It's just you leave it there. That's why they're called leaves. You just leave them. And therefore, there's no intention to be machnis lekiyam. There's no din of peyah, and therefore, if people are going to go and participate and use those leaves, they will and eat them. There will be a problem of not giving true meisamaisus because it's not real peyah; it's only pseudo peyah. And with that, we've concluded today's blot. Any questions, Rabbi Isai?
You would think it's all part and parcel of the same plant, the leaves and the turnip. So it's sort of...
if the leaves are the turnips are kiyum, why aren't the leaves also? I mean, what's the whole problem? So it's we're talking about the turnips and leaves.
They didn't them in the plant.
So what the Gemara is telling us, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Peya, that the only minim that you're required to go and give Peya, if machnisa lekiyam, if you store it for long, extended periods of time. Nobody leaves turnip leaves on their own for extended periods of time, because those leaves would wither. They would not be fit for consumption after a couple of days. It would be just like, you know, old lettuce, old leaves. They would rot, spoil, you throw them out.
It's bottled to the turnip.
So the turnips you go and put into the bottles and you pickle. The leaves you just leave them there. So therefore, in a sense, you're machnisa lekiyam, but not with the intention of machnisa lekiyam, you're just doing it ayyadei dover acher. And that's why we have the machloikis. You can argue both ways, because that's why there was a machloikis between the Anshi Yericho and the Chacham. The Anshi Yericho held, like you're saying, just like they pickle the turnips and leave them for extended periods of time, the leaves are bottled to the turnip, they go along for the ride, they're also stored for a long period of time, so they didn't pay it, and that's why they left pay it. And the rabbi said, nah, nobody cares about the leaves, come on, they just leave them attached. Nobody eats from them, then nobody cares about them, maybe they do eat them, but you wouldn't store them intentionally, it's just unintentionally, just as an add-on, since it's already attached, instead of being matriach to cut them off. If any of you like pickles from the pickle jar, some of you, I know I sometimes get a little irritated at the end of the pickle, they forgot to cut off a little bit the stem. And the stem is not particularly appetizing. Maybe some of you eat it, maybe you don't. Some of you cut it off. They just leave the stem. Did they do that intentionally because people like the pickled cucumber stems? No, it's just they were lazy, or just the machine didn't cut it off. Here too, they were lazy, didn't leave the leaves. So the leaves went along for the ride, but it's not really machnisa lekiyam, and that's why the machloek between Anshi Yericho and Rabban, and Yopeya and Nishpeya. Any further questions, Rabbi Isai? Hearing none, I wish everybody a gitavach, and Emet Hashem, tomorrow we're going to continue at approximately 5 to 8 or so, after we finish davening tomorrow morning at Font. Thank you all for joining. Zadke Bench, Agitabach.
Agitabach, all the best.
Okay. Thank you, Shlomi.
The machine, please bring the machine you have with you, and we'll use it for tomorrow's shiur.
And Miyat Hashem will do. Miyat Hashem.